Hey guys, welcome to Game Chat this week on April the 23rd of 2019, where we are talking about Siberia Part 2. So, yes. Well, first off, I will go, again, this game was released in January 2002. The designer was Benoit Sicao. I still don't know how to pronounce his last name. You didn't look that up for me, Stanton. How am I supposed to know? Anyways,
I could have found a good pronunciation for it. But I think it's so called
Benoit something French.
Yes, and so a little for intro for those that didn't hear our first part of the chat from last week, which you totally should at thegamechat.net. The game is about Kate Walker, a young, ambitious lawyer from New York, who is handed what seems a fairly straightforward assignment, a quick stopover to handle the sale of an old automaton factory hidden in the Alpine Valleys, then straight back home to the U.S. But little did she imagine that embarking on this task that her life would be turned upside down. And we'll go through intro so those listening will know who you're speaking with. What was the question we dropped last week?
Favorite toy?
No. It was something.
If you could have an automaton to do.
Exactly. What would you want the automaton to do for you? That's, you know, PG 13. Yeah, let's not get too crazy, guys. So, starting at the top.
My house.
Nice. No, that's good. It's good. It's a good one.
The skin and... I don't know. Kind of tough. I guess probably the same thing. Pick up after.
That's a good thing to have. Yeah. Next.
Seems a little bit weird, but be able to like find things have it be able to find things if I've like put them down. So it's like it's a remember automaton. So it's like, oh, where did I put my phone? And the automaton just goes over and like digs in like the couch or something. It's like,
that's
here
nice.
It is.
Yeah. And you could even put like, you know, little like maybe it could have little like mini tracking devices it could put on the objects. That would make it, of course, then you could just do it yourself. It'd be like one of those car key finder things. Anyways.
Yeah, but then you have to find the car key finder.
That's true. Next.
My turn?
Yes.
Okay. This is Chris. I think mine would probably be not only would it cook, but it would also clean and put the dishes away afterwards.
Nice.
So, I don't mind preparing and cooking and everything, but it's just like, I get home from work and I don't want to really necessarily have to do it.
No, for sure. No, yeah. I feel that. No. I feel that all the time. I don't even go out to work and I still don't feel like doing it. So, yes, this is Steph, and I would probably go with the cooking thing. I wouldn't mind getting like going out to the store for it and getting what it needs. But I definitely would want one to fix like some healthy meals for me and some like gluten-free desserts. That would be magnificent. Yeah. And also, I don't mind most cleaning. I would have it clean the bathroom though. Everything else I'm okay with. I can do myself, but the bathroom, yes, please do so.
maybe fold my white clothes.
Your white clothes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's like, it's mostly just undershirts and socks.
Yeah.
And it's like, that stuff I usually end up throwing in a pile half the time and leaving it for a couple weeks and just kind of pulling from the pile every once in a while.
Oh, that's such a guy thing. Yeah. That's such a guy thing.
Then you have to train it on your levels of clean.
Yeah.
Yeah, this shirt.
Automaton, please fold my underwear.
I mean, you know, it works. It works. Yeah. So we'll jump into the game. Yes. So, again, this is the second part of the game. So last week we talked about, of course, the first part, which was the beginning of the story. You find Oscar, the automaton, who takes you, who is able to start the train, well, with your help of finding the specific artifacts that went on the train in order for him to start driving the train. And your journey is to go and find Hans, who is the heir to this automaton factory. And so you have to talk to him because your firm has someone that wants to buy it, I believe. It gets lost in my head. Yeah, so the second part of the game, you arrive at the university. I don't remember the university's name. But
Barakastat?
Sure, that sounds great. Good job.
I think it's supposed to be Germany.
Yeah, Stadt.
France and you go to Germany.
Yeah.
You know, it's all relative base and places.
But all the accents are American.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. So how did you guys like the beginning of this? You know, your arrival at the university, getting started, getting settled. How did you generally like this middle part of the game? How did you feel?
Everybody's kind of a jerk.
Oof, everybody. Everyone that you meet is a jerk?
The one professor's okay. Professor Pons.
But pretty much everybody else we've met in this has been annoying.
But are they more of a jerk than the people you talk to on the phone? That's the question.
The phone wins.
I would have to. The rector and the gardener station man are gone. Kind of up there. But you only have to deal with them this chapter. You don't have to deal with them probably in the future chapter.
They don't really scare me. Like
they don't scare me either, whoever that was.
I thought I was just saying to Chris before we started. I thought, yeah, it's a tick shorter, I think, than the first part.
Okay.
And I, for the most part, I kind of lucked out. I just sort of like there was only one real time I had to consult a walkthrough. Everything else, I was like, okay.
Are you freaking serious? You're rock star. Hashtag rock star.
It just I explored. You resigned yourself in this game. It's like okay. You get off of the station, you just go and explore, pick up everything you can pick up.
Yeah.
And then we'll figure it out from there. You know, it's like, I just happened to luck out and hit the library first and find the two books. So it's like, okay, that's how you solve the one problem. And then the rectors basically give you your mission list for, how do you get out of the station? So.
Yeah, well, that's good for you. Yeah, go ahead, Kevin.
One thing, I find interesting, all the stuff that they're doing to make the fake plants, fake birds, and stuff seem like real creatures. But I guess it's just done in a way, and especially with the hard to read text and stuff, that it just kind of it becomes annoying because they're giving you so much information that you're like, I don't know what's important.
Oh, I see. You're talking about the specific bird that you have to.
Yeah, like the bird and the mushrooms.
Got it.
Yeah, the Amazon cuckoo.
Amazon. It seems like it was a very roundabout way to get to take care of the problem.
Quick side note.
Yes.
They actually did make a another game, I think after Siberia 2, called Amerzone.
Oh, are you kidding me?
No.
Oh my goodness.
I think it was either after Siberia 2 or it was between Siberia 1 and 2.
Amerzone, the Explorer's Legacy.
I played it and I cannot remember a single thing about it.
Maybe it wasn't that good.
I think I may not have even finished it because it was just not that memorable. So, but yeah. So
yeah. Wow. Yeah, it's like a weird. Yeah, that's interesting. They were like, we want to make this a reality. I wonder if the bird plays a prominent role in this game.
Oh, no, this was actually made before it, 1999.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, interesting.
Nice. Well, so they did that, and then they were like, let's include this in other games as well. It's like a reoccurring thing. I don't know if it is or not. I enjoyed this part, I guess. It was okay. I pretty much stuck with the walkthrough, though, unfortunately. I mean, I feel bad for that, but at the same time, it was for my own sanity. At that point in time, you know?
I switched over to a Let's Play because I couldn't get the start, and I didn't want to bother looking up guides. Get the game to start.
Yeah. You can't get the game to start?
I got to the like logo, like after the White Croix logo, and then it freezes at the Siberian screen.
Interesting. Well, yeah.
Yeah, but most of this, I mean, I don't know what you would call them, obstacles in the game were, in this section at least, were fairly straightforward. It's like, it wasn't overly complicated except for one thing. The birds, it's all right. You see the gangway and it's over the train. It's like, okay, I got to get rid of the birds. Okay, fine. All right. And everybody wants me to move the train. Okay. To move the train, I got to get money for the barge guy. Okay, fine. All right. We can do that. You know?
Yeah. I guess I just wish that there was more interactivity, like when you're walking around, you know, like that's one of my biggest things that I would like to see more of. And I don't know, it seems to me like that there was more, even in like older, like point and click games, like there was more to interact with, or even like things that you can click on to get her opinion on things. Even if it's just to get her to say something about what you're clicking on, that would be more engaging to me than just walking through a screen.
Yeah. Cause I think even in the first part, before you even leave the town and you go to click on a door, she goes and clicks, she says something like
I don't want to go there or something
it was something like ridiculous that made no sense. It was like, oh, I don't have time for that, or what do you mean? Like, she said something that made absolutely no sense as to what it would pertain to, like going to open a door. You would think that she would say, it's like, oh, it's locked. It's like, no, just something completely different than what you think one would say.
Also, why are these clickable if we're never going to use them ever? The closet mm-hmm. or door or whatever it was in her room in the beginning, you click on it and you're like, and she's like, oh, I don't need to go down there right now. Ever need to go down there? Behind that door.
I don't think I would mind as much if she just said it. But the problem was with the doors and stuff, when she would say that, she would walk to them first. Like, she would walk to the door, she would get right up on it, she'd be like, oh, I don't need to go down there right now. And it's like, why did you let me? What? Oh, God. Oh, no.
Why? Why is this a thing?
Oh, no. Yeah. Did you guys find any specific areas? Well, Frank, you said that most of it was pretty straightforward for you. You said one part, though.
Once, for me at least, once you find, okay, I got to get the $100 for the rectors. Okay, I mean, not from the rectors to give to the barge guys. Okay,
oh, yes, fine. Yeah.
And just lucked out with the library. Happened to find the two. The one book was like minute, had to be the size of a thimble on that table.
Yeah, yeah.
And then bumped into Professor Pons, and everybody's talking. You know, it's like obvious. Okay, you know, the berries, Sauvignon wine. Okay, all right, we see where we're going here. But they got to the point where it's kind of like, all right, what's nothing's happening now. They go back and forth, like you said. You know, constantly between areas, and it's like, I don't know what to do next. And it turns out you have to go give the mammoth doll to the professor to jar his memory, I guess. And that kicks off the second half.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that one kind of, like, I saw in the walkthrough, but then even before I saw it in the walkthrough about giving the mammoth doll to him, he was already, like, because I'd already talked to him a bit, and he was talking about the mammoth doll. He was like, oh, I wish I could find, like, he kept talking about him. You know, he was talking about Hans when this professor knew him and was saying he kept talking about a mammoth doll and, you know, about how important this is. And I thought, oh, I should give him the mammoth doll to look at. Like, maybe he would like to see it. But yeah.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
When he was giving that presentation, mm-hmm. the most annoying thing was the stupid
student
sound of no the sound effect of the projector fan was just ruining everything because all I could hear was the fan and barely hear him talking.
Very authentic. Okay, so like, it is a projector fan. I'm not sure if, like, if it was the guy's mic.
I was like, I don't need it to be this realistic.
Very authentic though.
Yeah.
I won't lie, by that point I get really triggered by like white noise like that. Like, I immediately get sleepy, and so like I literally started nodding off at that point. Like, yeah. At that point in the game, I was sitting in my seat and I was like, oh god, I could just go to sleep right now. And that's like, really why.
At first it's like, you know, I'm laughing at the kid that's like nodding off.
Oh, and yeah.
Like, by the end I'm like, I feel you, dude. I feel
like I can nod off myself. Honestly.
That was one mechanic I wish they had, is to wake up the guy in the the classroom. That and the annoying guy outside the university. What was his purpose?
He didn't have one.
I just, like, why did we waste code on this guy?
I mean, he's like the guy in the, like, they always have to have that one, like, they always
the
have to have
the bakery shop.
That don't do, well, the bakery shop, the guy sitting on the bench in the first part, too. The guy sweeping the floors in the first part.
Yep.
There's always these random people that are there. And, like, you could talk to that guy outside the university, at least. But he was horrible. I hated him. Because he was very, like, sexist, and
yes,
I didn't have to listen to his entire speech 5 times because the Let's Player kept clicking on it and doesn't know that you can't and it can skip text. So yeah.
I was like,
yeah,
I was like, oh my god, like, can I please see this guy? I'm sorry. Can I please see this character die at some point? But that didn't happen. So
I think I'm gonna develop a theory that. At this, I guess whoever, I don't know if this wasn't a one-man shot, right? This was designed by one guy, but a studio did this, right?
Right, right. There was 35, yeah, yeah, it was, 35-ish people, 30-ish people that developed the game. He was the director and the writer.
I think there must have been one dev who was, like, related to the company owner. And they didn't know what to do with them, so they made them do these meaningless characters.
Oh my goodness.
Here, just write code for these guys that nobody interacts
now,
with.
Now it's our turn to figure out which one it is.
Gotta watch the credits.
I have a suggestion. I have an opinion. That's as far as I'll take that, though. Yeah, there were a few parts that, like, as I said, like, I mean, I tried to go without a walkthrough for the most part, but there were a few parts I was like, but some of it was just like, I just didn't, like, I think I might have commented in the chat, in the Discord chat we have, check out our Discord chat, y'all, that there were a few parts in this section of the game that I kept forgetting about the sliding screens, like some screens, like randomly, like, I mean, most screens, like, you know, you can tell if there's something to look at mm-hmm. at the end of the screen or if there's not. And so, like, I would put my little, my pointer, the little half magnifying glass or whatever, on that side of the screen, and it wouldn't light up or anything. So I was like, oh, this is just a dead end. And so I would go back into the train station, but no, you had to keep walking and the screen slides with you. And that's so, it's not used a lot. And it's not used enough for me to be like, to automatically be like, I better walk to the end of the screen to see if it slides. I just thought at some point something will show up here, you know, like, that, like, I don't know, a boat will show up, and so the screen will be important. I didn't realize, oh, I have to keep walking for it to be important.
The problem that I kept having was that whenever I was clicking to the right, I kept clicking out of the screen and going back to the desktop.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
For me, it's to the left because I have a monitor attached to the laptop, so it's like, I would go so far to the left and it would end up on the other monitor, and the game would, like, not freak out, but freeze up a little because it went outside the game.
Yeah. So it wouldn't freeze up, but it would minimize. So then I would just click back on it and go back in, but it was just annoying.
Oof.
Yeah.
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 It's rough. Yeah, I mean, there wasn't really any other, like, mechanical changes, game mechanic changes in this section. It was all pretty much similar to the first part.
The first part was, you kind of had to get used to what the cursor, all the different cursors meant.
Yeah.
You know, with the open, the open spyglass, which is, like, you can interact, and then there's that little X in the open spyglass that says, no, you don't have what you need to put here.
Yeah.
And
how did you guys like what should I call it? But the telephone or the code that you had to call someone to raise and lower the water. That's what it was for.
Yeah.
Classic.
Interesting.
He's on vacation. You're going to have to do it yourself.
Yeah. Now that one, I kind of figured out because I saw the sign first.
Right.
And then, and then I was like, oh, I just need to call. Someone was saying, oh, it was Jonathan, I think, was saying that on he's playing it on the Wii. Not the Wii. The Switch. The Switch. I'm a few years behind. He was playing on the Switch. And that it just automatically calls it on the phone.
You bastard.
Instead of having to type it in. But, I don't know. Because I remember in the first part, I kind of liked, like, being able to, like, just flip through my contacts and trying to call people, even though it never went through on anyone that I wasn't supposed to be calling at the time. I was like, I'll just try and call mom. And, of course, it went to voicemail.
Yeah.
She didn't answer. So that was unfortunate.
I was kind of actually confused by the barge owner. It's like I think he's speaking German, right?
It sounded German.
I'm pretty sure he's German.
But he says, Das Verdonje, and it's like, that's Russian. Wait a minute.
He's either German or Russian.
You're mixing your your terms here.
Maybe it's a very rough Russian.
Maybe, or he's a citizen of both, and he just, you know, mixes his.
He just mixes the languages.
Yes. Soviet berserk.
Bi-speak.
I can't even pronounce.
That was good. That was
camera zone.
That was a good, you know, good try. Good try. Yeah, so I did find the fetch quests a little frustrating. I mean, I felt, even though I was using a walkthrough for most of the time, like, I felt the, I guess, jet lag of sorts, or the just kind of like the, of having to run back and forth in between the train station and talking to those stupid people at the university, the head guys. Like, I swear we probably had to run back and forth between the station and the university about at least 10 to 12 times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was a lot.
Because you distinctly had to talk to the station master like four different times in his life. It's like, he'll only go so far, and then once you do this for directors, then you can talk to him again. And then once you get the thing from this, then he'll talk to you again, and then he'll finally confess to running a vineyard for the grapes, you know?
I mean, I guess it could have been worse, and I guess it could have been, like, more locations of having to run back and forth mm-hmm. in between, but, like, I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm glad there wasn't more locations, or if more locations, like, and not just having the two places would make it more interesting of being, like, not just seeing two places consistently. And then you had to run, like, each time you had to run all the way back to the one professor's teaching room, to his
laboratory.
The lab. I found that a little frustrating at times. So how did you, we've already kind of talked about how, you know, you guys, you know, some of us think the characters are annoying. I got very frustrated with the phone conversations because everyone is just
oblivious.
Man.
Frank, ooh.
What?
They're oblivious. They're like
rude people. Like, everyone is like, hey, when are you coming home? It's like, she is
babe, when are you coming home? I need you.
If he calls her babe one more time, I'm gonna reach through the game,
babe, honey,
and sweet. Just bring him through and just strangle him right here and there.
I used to have I still have a saying that, you know, sometimes you just end up in a solar system that has many suns but no planets. It's like, everybody thinks everything revolves around them.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah. I'll be interested to see and like how, if that develop, like I just want to see Kate be like, F all of you guys. I'm just doing my own thing. Like, I am not coming back. I'm going to go and do something else, because literally, like, her friend isn't that bad. Her friend's a little ditzy and a little, like, a little self-centered, but at least she's not like, oh my god, like, why are you still there? And, you know, but her boss, even her mom, definitely her boyfriend or whatever he is, all of them are just jerks.
Yeah, her mom with her new boyfriend. And he has the cutest little, oh, never mind. I was laughing on that one.
So I definitely, that's something that, like, jumping ahead, I want to see for the finale of the game. I want to see Kate doing her own thing. I want to see her leaving all those people in the dust and just striking out on her own and never. Well, she should call her mom again, but never calling anyone else again.
Yeah, I was so close to being happy when she had the conversation with Dan. It's like, yes, drop the bomb on him. Drop the hammer.
She doesn't need to call her mom again. Her mother has Frank. She'll be fine.
But then, even with her boyfriend, Dan, right? Dan's his name. Mm-hmm. Even with Dan, like, yes, she told him off, but then she talked to her, was it her friend? Sometime after that, and with her friend, she was like, oh, he's just in a mood. Like, she didn't act like, she wasn't like that jerk. I'm done with him. She was just like, oh, he's being so frustrating.
Yeah.
was oh my gosh.
Starting to backtrack already.
I just want a option for Kate to punch people.
Please. That too.
just give us a random punch button.
I thought, you know, that part of the quests would be getting the mechanical eagle to work, and I thought that would have been pretty neat.
Yeah.
The mechanical eel. Right. Yes. Oh yeah. 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 That's what I was hoping for that too. I was like, I want to get this thing going. Like when you got up there to it, I was like, okay. Okay, though, I'm going to get up here and it's going to ask me to like, I need to find something to get the eagle to work. And so I'm going to have to go back down. But then no, she just collected the, and I was kind of sad.
Wait, what did you use to collect the egg?
Beaker holder or whatever it was.
Yeah,
find it in the lab. Yeah.
So you've scared away the birds with mushrooms or something?
The Sauvignon berries.
Wait. Oh.
It wasn't scaring them away. It was they like Sauvignon berries.
You toss some to the side of the dragon.
And Kate is too scared to actually just be like, shoot, go away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because plot reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I didn't actually read about the birds. I didn't, like, I thought maybe she knew that they looked carnivorous or something, but I guess not. She was just afraid of birds. She's just scared of birds.
Right. They're actually, they describe them as parasites, which I think it's accurate to cuckoo birds. They nest in other birds.
The captain or the gardener even said that the cuckoo birds were, you know, taking over the nest of the other birds.
They're the brown-headed cowbird of cuckoo birds.
I mean, they do look kind of scary. I'm looking at a little picture right here. I don't know. They look like they have like red heads and I don't know. Okay. I was speaking really close to the microphone, so that probably sounded really weird. Get some ASMR going on here.
Then we have the false ending where it's like you get in the train, starts, and it's like,
yeah,
da, 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 get to the gate. Oh, God.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I guess we found out, as far as story goes, we found out a little bit more about Hans.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really remember what that was, but I know we found out more about him.
Yeah, he went to the university, developed the bandstand, the eagle.
Oh, that's right. The bandstand. I liked the bandstand. I like the automaton stuff. That's the highlight of my playing time. You know, because it makes a lot of sense, guys, to on like an automaton structure to make it to where you have to put an egg there. that seems like a great mechanic. You just have to have that egg.
Yep.
Wait. So you use the real bird's egg to balance out a fake golden egg?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But isn't that depriving the actual bird from being raised?
Sure. I mean, absolutely, Kevin.
Well, absolutely. It wouldn't have been hatched anyway because the mechanical eagle took the egg, so it was just sitting up there and there was no birds sitting on the egg anyway, so...
That's true. Right. It was probably a dead egg.
Yeah.
Probably.
It was probably rotting, just a rotting corpse inside there.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Great kickoff with you go to the room and it's like, oh, there's our friend, Oscar.
Yes, Oscar. You know, I mean.
Exit visa, please.
Oscar's his own. Yeah, Oscar's his own special creature.
I didn't notice the guy. It took me like 5 minutes to notice the guy in the observatory or the watchtower. It's like I went to the desk. Oh, there's the broken glasses. Okay, and there's the scope. Okay, fine.
Oh yeah.
All right, I got what I got to do, but who do I do it with? And it's like, oh, there he is behind the scope.
Yeah. I didn't even see that door until I saw it. I had in a walkthrough. So, but even reading the walkthrough, I was like, where's this door at? I don't see it. But it was kind of hidden off in the distance a bit. But yeah, that guy was interesting. He was fun. Thinking that some driftwood was some person watching him from the beach on horseback.
Sort of a Don Quixote moment. Yeah.
Wait, what are you talking about?
It's at the end of the part that we played.
Yeah, at the end of the chapter.
There's a guy in the watchtower, and a guard, and he has a telescope, but his glasses? What happened to his glasses, Frank?
His glasses broken. He has really poor eyesight.
Yeah, his glasses and broke.
The telescope wasn't focused either.
Oh, that's right.
Do you go and give him the shrooms?
No.
We give him the extract. No, you find that.
To improve his vision, too.
Yeah.
The shroom extract.
Yes, the shroom extract, which you get in the laboratory.
So, yes, you do give him the shroom.
Well, you have to pour a glass of wine for him and put the extract in the wine.
Mm-hmm.
You get a bottle of wine from the station master, I guess, because he feels all guilty for not
turning them in.
Right.
Yeah.
And I tried to give the bottle of wine to the guy standing outside the university, but that didn't work, obviously.
Yeah.
The only thing you need to give them is a good smack in the head.
Because that's the whole thing. They're making wine, right? The professor, the people that are in charge of the university, or they're making it for them. They're making it for them out of the it's a special Sauvignon.
Yeah, yes, they're making illegal Amazon berry wine.
Yes, very potent, I've heard. So once you get that fixed, you are on to the next. Next part with the big automaton gate and everything turns dark. So
I think you officially entered Russia. Yeah.
So what are you guys hoping to have answered or to have explored in the final part of Siberia? Siberia game one, which is the only game we'll probably
actually meeting Hans.
Yeah.
That'd after nice. He made us go through all this crap.
You know, it would be great.
Do you know how many people I had to talk to find you?
If you don't meet Hans until game three.
What?
I said it would be great if you didn't meet Hans until game three.
Oh, God.
Like this entire game series is about finding Hans, and there's like three of them.
And then in the end, he goes and says, Rosebud, and then dies.
Sure. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm excited to see what Hans is like. Nope. Yep. I agree, Frank.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I mean, I think that's fine. I mean, we spoil things on here. I mean... Okay. I think it's okay. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. That's a good theory. Frank typed in the chat that he thinks that Momo, he seems boyish that we meet in the first part of the game. But obviously he's very smart. And there have been notations that we found, journals and stuff, that it seems like Hans would be something similar, that Hans kept his childlike, like he looked really young, but he was very, very smart and very intelligent, and almost a genius. I mean, I would say a genius probably. Frank thinks that Momo is Hans. And honestly, I I thought that from the moment I met Momo. No, not from the moment I met Momo, but the moment that I first read something about Hans. I think it was in Anna's diary in the first part. And Anna's diary, when you found the diary, I think it was in the attic of the house, I think. And it said something like, and it mentioned something about Hans keeping his childlike state, you know, but he was doing like he was in charge of all of these different, you know, he was inventing things, but he still seemed like a child in some ways, I think she said, or something similar. And I was like, oh, like Momo.
Exactly. And he's fascinated with the gears, and it's like, I can see.
And I really I'm pretty sure
Momo is like.
Yeah.
Early 20s, teens or something. And then Hans is supposed to be like
10.
70.
I made a mental note. I didn't do it. Damn it. I was going to look up to see if there's, you know, if you fall and hit your head, can you stunt your growth and your development? It's like, it's a little far-fetched, but.
I think
your growth can probably be stunted by injury.
I think that it is hinted at that he seemed, I mean, even like later on, before Anna lost, you know, whatever happened, the last time that she, you know, that he kept his, something about it seemed to be that he kept his childlike looks, like that he still looked like a child. Mm-hmm. She said that a few times in her papers and in, like, you know, her diary, I think. I'll have to go back and look at it, but, yeah, that was a suspicion of mine since the beginning, Frank.
Yep,
and agreed. I still kind of suspected something I read in the second part kind of made me doubt that for the first time, but I don't remember what it was. But I still kind of have that in the back of my head.
Yeah, talking about it now that I developed it, yeah. If he isn't Hans, he could be something else.
I think that he might, I mean, he could be Hans. I was also thinking maybe, you know, Hans still was, you know, eventually got some, you know, and was able to reproduce, you know, like had a son.
Or it's an automaton.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but Momo is an automaton Hans.
He was an automaton made by
Anna,
or
Hans made it, or yeah, yeah. We're writing fan fiction here.
oh my gosh!
That Hans made a automaton of himself to keep Anna company.
Question is, which do I like more? Which theory do I like more? Because as I said, something made me doubt it in part two, made me doubt that Momo was Hans. And so in a way, like, it almost seems like it would mean more, I think. I think by now, us traveling, I was thinking that really strongly, like, that Momo was Hans back in the first part, like, towards the beginning. Before I had any idea we were going on a train journey to find Hans. And so I think at this point, I'd probably be aggravated if it turns out that Momo was Hans and he was obviously back in the beginning.
Right.
So I think that personally, I would be more fulfilled and more satisfied if, because of course that's important, that if Momo was an automaton to resemble Hans that was either created by Anna or I would hope was created by Hans for Anna in his absence, like to be like, here, this is the brother that you, because obviously Momo is being taken, was being taken care of by Anna. Mm-hmm. And he thinks, you know, he thinks highly of Anna. And he likes mammoths. Like, it seems very similar. It seems very similar, like almost eerily similar.
I think it's more, that's more of the fact that because he was taken care of by Anna,
No, maybe. I think
so. Talks about her brother Hans all the time with mammoths and everything.
I'm thinking he's an automaton.
Stay tuned, right. Kids.
You just gave me a new theory.
There you go. Let's work on it.
I like it. Yeah. So I would like to see, I mean, of course, we're going to see some answers with that. I would like to see Anna just burn her past down and just do something new with her life by, you know, with new people or by herself or something. Yeah. So
in the end, wearing a big woolly mammoth coat, living with the tribe.
I'm not sure I want to see the woolly mammoth coat after a game exalting mammoths, but I mean, I would like to see her riding a mammoth.
There you go.
I'm not sure how that would work, but yeah. So yeah. Anyone else have anything that they want to discuss about part two of Siberia? Well, great. So next week we'll be talking about, well, obviously the finale of Siberia. And that is on April the 29th, the 30th, the 30th. And then also don't forget about, we have our Dragon Age 2 chat coming up. Well, I mean, it's in July, mid-July. After we talk about, I think, whatever one is on the end of the game chat on thegamechat.com at the end of the list. I think it's like July the 16th or something like that on a Tuesday. But anyway, so you have a couple months to play that. We also have our April month chat coming up on May the 7th, where we are talking about Okami HD, which I still need to start. Anyways.
Do it. It's good.
I know it's good.
I'm really good.
I'm excited now. Too. I was just, I was like just completely swamped by work last week. So I just need to, I need to just like sit down with it for a couple of days and just dive into it for me. Yeah. Well, I mean, but yeah, Frank made a comment in the chat that God of War and DA2 are both scheduled for July, but you've known about both for a while, Frank.
Oh yeah. I'm just stating that. I'm not complaining.
Yes. Not complaining at all. Okay. Gotcha. Well, I mean, I knew you weren't, you know, I thought that you were what? Like, oh God. Yeah. So start playing them both now. But yeah, God of War is our month chat for June. So mm-hmm. I'm kind of playing, I mean, that can be also be played by ear. Cause I know it's a longer game and a little bit more intense. So, you know, if I'm always kind of lenient with these month chats that it seems like that it's just not enough time, you know, that we can always, you know, reschedule those if we absolutely have to.
Okami goes pretty fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Once you get rolling with that, it's.
Yeah. 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 Okami's long. Me waiting this long is only my fault at this point. So, yeah. So. For those listening, if you want more game chat, you can check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Podcast under The Game Chat for all of our past and current shows. You can also keep up to date on what's going on by following us on Twitter at @the_game_chat. On it, we have an Instagram account at The Game Chat that it's not kept up. I need to work on that. And you can also search for us on Facebook under Game Chat. If you leave us a review or a question or topic for a current game that we might, you know, that we have in our schedule, which you can see the schedule at our website, thegamechat.net. Yes. But if you check us on Twitter and you see in our posts and you post up like a comment or a question on any of our current games that we're doing, I will read them on air and I will read your name along with them. So you will get a shout out, as they call it. You can also email us any questions or reviews that you might have at chatwithus@thegamechat.net. You can also join in on a chat. You can email us at jointhechat@thegamechat.net. Or you can send us pictures of dogs at notenoughdogs@thegamechat.net. Yes, we have that. Come back next week. What? Where again we'll be chatting? Yes, absolutely. We have an email for that. Thanks to Stanton. He's the mastermind behind that one. So come back next week as, again, we're talking about the last part of Siberia, and we'll be giving it our final score and final thoughts. So until next Tuesday, guys, thanks for listening, and I'll chat at you later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.